Welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. And today's topic will be on medical price transparency. How much does it cost? So, Shelley, let's just dive in here. We are talking about medical price transparency today. What areas will we be focusing on?
Hi, Jim, and thank you for having me. Today we're going to focus on pricing at the hospital level. So these would be services you get when you go to a hospital, whether it's for inpatient or outpatient services.
Can you tell us what prompted hospitals to begin sharing their charge masters? And can you also explain what a charge master is?
Yes. I will tell you that a charge master is basically a retail list that the hospital comes up with for all of the services that they perform while in the hospital. Again, considering inpatient and outpatient services, anything from administering an aspirin to the cost for a Band-Aid to a complicated surgical procedure. So it lists all those many services and at many different levels that the hospital would offer. And these did come about because of CMS. CMS is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Seema Verma is our current administrator, and she is acutely aware of the need for more and more price transparency so that consumers can take a look at what is the hospital charging before I go in to have this surgery or procedure, or I have some diagnostic work done, whether it be blood work or an x-ray or a CAT scan, how much might that cost me? So she wanted to set down some guidelines that all hospitals will have to make their charge masters available online and by fiscal year 2019. So we're seeing those right now in the marketplace. People are able to look at them and pull them down. The charge masters themselves consist of a CPT code or an HCPCS code. So, and there can be other codes there. They get to be a little bit complicated, and so it's not always easy for a consumer to read. So it will require a lot more education from us and to have the hospitals help us when we're trying to read the charge master.
Now that these charge masters are available online, how does it help a consumer?
Well, it enables the patients to understand their potential financial liability for their services and to compare the charges for similar services at other hospitals. So many of us live in areas where we have more than one hospital, and not only a hospital, but there might be ambulatory surgical centers, there's urgent care facilities, as well as emergency facilities. So there's many different ways that we as consumers can access care, and the idea of having this charge master list is that you can look at a specific procedure that you might need. Let's say you need to go in for an MRI or you're just going to have routine blood work. Am I best served to go to a hospital where the charge might be X, or can I go to a standalone facility that only offers blood work and that's their specialty, so it's significantly cheaper? So it allows me as a consumer to take a look at some of those comparisons and do that. It also is an opportunity for the many different health insurance carriers that we have today to take a look at the rates that a particular hospital charges, and that would be the basis for that insurance carrier to begin the negotiation process with that hospital to say, I know you charge X for this procedure, we're willing to pay you Y, and this is how we came upon that number, potentially using other hospitals in the area. So it is the basis, if you think about it, when you're shopping, let's say, for a car, because that's a complicated procedure as well, you have the retailer, the sticker price on the car itself, but most of us don't pay that retail price or that sticker price. We pay something off of that during the negotiation process. It might be rebates from the manufacturer. It might be that we're really good at negotiating and we're able to negotiate that rate down. But think of those charge masters and how the consumer uses that charge master or retail list as the basis for the beginnings of what they would pay. I will tell you too that if you have no insurance at all, basically that price that's on the charge master list is the price that you're going to be charged on your bill.
What is the markup on services from a hospital? And how does my health insurance carrier help with the bill?
Markups, of course, in the retail, as we looked at with the car, you can have some significant markups. There was a recent health affairs study done, and they said that an average hospital that has over 50 beds would have a charge to cost ratio of 4.32. What that means to us is that if a typical service is $100, the 4.32, that means that the hospital is going to charge $432 for that $100 service. So that's an average way of looking at it using that study. Also, we see that a hospital on average would charge about 20 times more than what their actual cost is in order to recover what they need. Sometimes when we see higher, more complex services that need to be done, such as, very finite things that might need to be done in surgery or typical diagnostic procedures that are very costly, they might be marked up more than just a routine draw for blood work. So there is definitely an increase in cost. And as I said, they take those charge masters. An insurance carrier will look at those and say, well, I know that just about every patient that goes into the hospital is going to need to have blood work done, and they're going to have some other kind of diagnostic work done, like an X-ray, a CAT scan, or something like that. And so those are the charges that they're going to focus on, but they're also going to focus on services that a lot of people use, knee replacements, hip replacements, routine bone setting, things like that. So an insurance carrier with a network is going to help that patient to pay a significantly lower price than that markup that we talked about.
What can a savvy consumer do to protect themselves?
They can definitely take a look at what's happening in their state. We have some different states that have specific rules and regulations, such as California makes every hospital send their charge master into the state on a regular basis for review. We have states like Maryland that sets the price for all hospitals. So if you go in to get a particular procedure done at any hospital in Maryland, you will know that the price is set by the state of Maryland. We also have something similar with West Virginia. Florida has some regulations. Oklahoma has a service where you can type in what you're having done. There's over 240,000 different things you can look up. So many more states have become much more proactive with this. New York and Pennsylvania have a service where you can take a look at the procedure that you're having done, and you can look at the mortality rate for that particular hospital, how many of those procedures they do in a year, how many readmissions they have for that type of work. New York and Pennsylvania do not include the cost that you would pay based on the insurance carrier that you're insured with, but it does give you a lot of valuable information to help you compare. So you can take these charge master lists. You may want to speak with your doctor about the specific codes, the CPT codes, or other codes to help determine what the hospital might charge you. Hospitals are being better trained. Their administration is being better trained to help you as the consumer when you go into the hospital and you're signing all those forms to say, you know, here's what's going to happen to me, you have a better predictor of what it's going to cost you, what the health insurer might pay, and what you're going to pay. Also, there are health insurance carriers that offer this service now, sometimes as a prerequisite to going to the hospital. You need to check with their services to find out what this will cost you, what you have to pay out of your pocket. So we're seeing many more areas crop up that can help us as consumers to know before we get the bill what the bill might look like.
What do you see in the future with all this?
Well, since the Affordable Care Act joined us almost 10 years ago, it came around in March 23rd of 2010, we have seen deductibles, coinsurance, copays. We've seen all of that go up, which means more money is coming out of the consumer's pocket before anything is paid by a health insurance carrier. So the insureds have become much more savvy about where's the best place for me to get this done, and how do I investigate whether I need to get it done, or how do I ask the right questions. And I think what we're seeing from CMS and from the administrator Seema Verma is really going to fuel that too. From the Medicare and Medicaid perspective, we've seen an expansion of those that are eligible for Medicaid in 37 or 38 states now. So there's many more people that have Medicaid available. We have many people that are on Medicare, and so they want to know what it's going to cost them along with their Medicare coverage, their supplemental coverage, or their Medicare Advantage coverage, and the typical private consumer who has health insurance through their employer, or they're buying it individually through a carrier or through the exchange or marketplace in their state, they see this big amount that they have to come up with before anything is paid for by insurance, so they want to get the best bang for their dollar. So Seema Verma at CMS is going to have many more of these types of rules that are going to come out that are going to force the hospitals to give more information out to the consumers, so that the consumers can properly shop for their healthcare needs much the same way that we as consumers shop for a car or a dishwasher or a new pair of shoes. So look for much of that to develop in the next few years as we go forward, and to get more education for the consumers about what these codes are, what do they mean to us, and how we can work with our health insurance provider to give us all the information we need as a consumer.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. Everyone, thank you for listening in. I would also like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson. Thank you.